I like to solve problems quick. I'm not the person who wants to go, so-and-so said this. And I said, look, I know you are a fighter, not a talker. So I'm going to book us this fight night. We were both doing MMA at the time. We're going to go, we'll sell tickets to our friends. We'll get in the ring, and whoever, like, win or lose, this is squashed and we never talk about it again.
One of the things that attracted me a ton was like your ability to develop these incredible relationships and being able to turn them very quickly into opportunities. And I'm like, oh, how is she doing this?
Every quarter, I will send out a voice message to the people who really impacted me and helped me move forward that quarter, because then people are like, they value me, they appreciate me. We all want to be valued and appreciated.
I love the non-transactional aspect of value that you just share with people, right?
You can always give with an intention of what you hope will happen, but never give with an expectation of what you think should happen.
Hey, I'm Luis.
And this is Luis.
And welcome to the Content is Profit podcast.
In here, you're going to get the insights, accountability, and drive to create consistently and increase revenue.
You'll hear from top entrepreneurs, creators, and anything and everything you need to know about content, all this while having a good time.
The goal of this podcast is simple: entertain, educate, and turn your content into profit.
Woo, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
Money, money falling. There we go.
There we go.
We don't have the sounds on this one.
Yeah, no, we don't have the sounds on this. I mean, we have some. But anyways, guys, I am excited to introduce to you a person that I've been on same calls-ish, you know, almost every single morning for a few months now. And she finally accepted our invitation to Content is Profit. I'm very honored. You know, she actually put her first event at only 20 years old.
Wow.
It was Ascension Female Fight Night.
Wow. That is cool.
That's very cool. Yeah.
I'm going to try not to you know, go too much into a tangent, but I want to know all about that.
Yes. One of the things that she really considers a big win in her life, personally and business, is the tight relationships that she's been able to develop with incredible people in the industry, which is one of the things that I really want to, you know, talk about.
Absolutely.
She's also a single mom, runs a business, and she has lost everything twice and has come back from that even stronger. And I can tell you, man, like, those calls are early for me, earlier for her, and she's always like ready to go and ready to eat the world. So with that said, guys, please welcome the one and only, our friend, Victoria Chanel.
Chanel.
Okay.
Chanel, bro.
Chanel.
Come on.
Bro.
He said the Hispanic version. He's like, Chanel.
I definitely. Chanel, what you talking about? No, do you watch,
Victoria,
do you watch Saturday Night Live by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a new Hispanic comedian.
Oh, I love him. And I know who you're talking about. He's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. So I feel like I channel my Hispanic comedian
on that
one.
You really did. You crushed it.
But Victoria, I'm very, very excited to have you here. You know, we chatted a while back, we jumped on, you guys are building incredible things. And one of the things that attracted me a ton was like your ability to develop these incredible relationships and being able to turn them very quickly into opportunities. And I'm like, oh, how is she doing this? So please, and you know, a little context for you is the last probably 5 episodes, we really dove deep into developing those relationships. And how do we connect with this? Just yesterday, we were in an interview for a different show, and they were asking, well, podcasters have this like sleazy strategy to connect with you over an interview and then sell you everything. And I'm like, you know, how's yours different, right? Because we have a similar system. We don't sell, we don't teach it yet, but that's how we've been able to build our business and being able to buy the studio and different things. And it doesn't feel like that. At least that's the feedback that we get. So every time we talk about relationships and linking them in a profitable way to your business, it's super interesting to me, because there's a lot of room for misinterpretation. And I think you're one of those people that do it right. Right. So do you want to share with us a little bit of like how that came to be? Was it by accident? Does it come natural to you?
The relationship side definitely is more natural. Everything's relationship in life, right? The relationship you have with yourself, the relationship you have with your spouse, your children, coworkers. And so I think it all starts with how do you feel about yourself before you can go into a relationship with someone else. right? You meet people, and if you aren't treating yourself right, you're lying to yourself, you're not keeping your commitments to yourself. How is it going to be when you go and you meet new people and you show up to work with them or to interact with them? And then the other thing is that the initial meeting in relationships, people really underestimate, right? Mm-hmm. It's like judging a book by its cover. At networking events, let's use this as an example. How many times have I seen the person who's running around trying to meet everyone and then looking all around him to see who he wants to talk to next and not being present in that moment with that person? So it's like, treat everybody like they're somebody. I have never worked anywhere where every single person there wasn't like, Victoria is amazing. She treats us incredibly. It doesn't matter if you were the janitor. It doesn't matter who you were. And that's really all it is. It's, I think that saying treat people like you wanted to be treated isn't necessarily, it's not, I kind of disagree with that in a way, because how do you know how other people want to be treated? Mm. Right? So that's just my take. It just came from a young age and just having a really giving heart. So if you add the most value, you'll never have to worry about money again, right? If you're constantly adding value to people, I remember my grandparents would go and buy me a gift and they said, okay, mija, if we buy you this, you can't give it away. And I was like, oh, because I just loved giving. I'd meet someone and I'd be like, this is something I have a value that would be more valuable for you. Let me give it to you. And so I think it's the same way. It's not necessarily, value can be the value of a good listening ear. Value can be making a meal for someone, inviting them over for dinner. People look at value and they think it just needs to be like, here's my product or service. Here's my value. Value is so much more than that.
Absolutely. I love the non-transactional aspect of value that you just share with people, right? I love the example of dinner, right? Actually, one of our favorite stories comes from a podcast guest that we had on, and then we went to an event in Boise, Idaho, and she invited us over to her house to have dinner with her and her family, and we're like, you know what? We're going to build up on that. We're actually going to make Venezuelan food. And we bought ingredients and we made arepas for her and her family. They ended up inviting, they took us out of the hotel to stay with them for the rest of the trip, right? And I love that. We really develop a close relationship with them. So I think that's a incredible example. I'm curious for that person listening, right? And I'm having a hard time asking this question because I don't want to make this about the transaction, but I do want to paint the picture of for people about the opportunities that, you know, being intentional with relationships, you know, can create. So what are some of those opportunities that have come from developing some of these relationships that you have in your life?
Let me start with this. You want to do business with people you like. Every business opportunity I have that has come my way, or incredible experience that has come my way, is because those people like me and we were good friends first. So if someone likes you enough to have them over to your house and to want you to spend that time with them, how much better do they get to know you? And like, for example, you just said that lady, she had you and she wanted you guys to come over for dinner. How much more likely is she going to want to work with you because she sees you in and out? That's the foundation, honestly. And usually if you're doing business with someone, you're going to become closer with them. So why wouldn't you want to be close with someone and then go do business with them?
Yeah.
That is the opportunity.
Yeah. By the way, before you continue, like part two to that, which you left out, is we ended up going to Boise again, like probably like a year later. And there was a big conference or a big event for like a big mastermind that we're not part of, but we ended up somehow hosting an arepa night for that inner circle meeting in that person's house. And every single person from the inner circle was there, and we were able to connect and meet incredible people just because, you know, we provided, I guess, a valuable experience on top of what they already provided to us. So it was a paying forward time 10. You know, and that was like a year after the original event happened. And I'm sure like if we ever go back to Boise, we can definitely give them a call, send them a text, and we'll meet up, right? So that's quick parenthesis on like on our side, that specific example. But on your side, right, you were saying.
Well, my question to you is, okay, so you're saying when you go back to Boise, have you thought about how are you nurturing the relationship now?
Yeah, I mean, with them specifically, it's, you know, messages here and there. We did, they got to the opportunity where, like, they could be a potential client or partner, but it was not a fit just because they have their own team at the time, right? And it was not, we weren't serving that specific need, but at the same time, she introduced us to people that could work with us, right? Mm-hmm. And we're still present. And then now I think we consider them more friends than anything because they also met, you know, my wife, Fonzie's fiance, and the whole family, really. So mm-hmm. They become personal friends, which, by the way, this is something that we mention all the time. For us, that's more valuable than anything else, right? Somebody that you could pick up the phone and give them a call, and they'll be there, or they'll help, or they'll be able to kind of point you in the right direction. Somebody that you admire, to me personally, like you said, mm-hmm. that's very valuable to me, more probably than a business relationship of purely transactional.
Yeah. Well, and how someone runs their personal relationship says a lot about how they run their business, because... You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times if someone's being dishonest in their personal relationships or their family life, they're probably going to be dishonest if I do business with them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really a good tell of character. Yeah. I just think people look at business, and I know business partners are totally different. You guys are business partners, right?
Yeah.
You get to see each other, the good, the bad.
Yeah. I mean, we're also brothers. Right? From the same mother. There's that.
Minor detail. But it's like a marriage. You're married to whoever you do business with, depending.
Yeah.
And so you really want to make sure that you know that person before you go. And I've watched, so I work with companies right now, and we help them fill the gaps, plug the holes, and scale. And the majority of them end up in a bad business partnership because they didn't really know the person, and they're losing millions of dollars trying to get out of it. Mm. It's like, ask the hard questions. Don't be so excited about getting that business contract or that deal that you don't get to know the person first.
Yeah.
Because it's a mess to get out of it later.
Yeah, 100%. You asked my brother how we nurture those relationships. I'm curious how you nurture yours, if you have, you know, besides just staying in touch with them and whatnot, is there anything else that you do?
One thing I really like to do is every quarter, I will send out a voice message to the people who really impacted me and helped me move forward that quarter. Mm-hmm. So for example, at the end of last quarter, I send a voice message to someone and I said, you know, I really valued you and how you were forward with me. Like when I had an idea and it wasn't that great, you told me, and how, and you just really impacted my life in a positive way. She sent me a voice message back and said, wow, I had no idea. Thank you. Right. So those little things, it doesn't have to be huge, but just a handwritten card, a voice note, sharing a detail or an experience specifically when it made a difference, because then people are like, they value me. They appreciate me. We all want to be valued and appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a small detail from you that mm-hmm. happened also long ago. And it was, you know, we jumped on a call with one of the companies that you're helping because they're trying to build a in-house studio, right? And we kind of share our thoughts and we share some things that we've been doing, right? And right after the conversation, you just sent me a quick voicemail like, hey, Luis, thank you so much for jumping on the call and helping us through this. You know, it doesn't get unnoticed. And I think that's mm-hmm. the phrase that you said, but it was like right after the conversation on a voice note, and I was like, well, that made an impression. Now, how many calls, you know, especially if you do business all over the place or online, and today with the Zoom calls, right? Mm-hmm. You have a conversation with somebody and then there's no message right after, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's definitely room for opportunity. You know, I've been taking some notes here. I'm like, huh, like you said, plugging the holes in the process, in the relationship process. Like, how can we do this, right? So saying a thank you after a podcast interview, right? Saying a quick mm-hmm. video, be like, oh, this was so cool. Thank you so much for teaching us X, Y, Z. And, you know, I'm sure this is going to be really helpful for somebody. And just like little details that take no time to do it, but they have a lasting impact. So for that, thank you for executing it on me and opening my eyes to a lot of stuff. And this will go a long way, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you manage those relationships through some sort of CRM and whatnot, your contact list? Is it just when they pop into your mind, right? Because I think there's a closer circle of people that come to my mind more often than not. Mm-hmm. Yet there's a lot of people that I've connected with in the past that I wish I would have nurtured, you know, that mm-hmm. relationship way more, not because of transactional purposes, just because I think they would be incredible friends, right? Incredible people to have around. But sadly, I haven't done that, just relying in my mind. So I'm curious if you have some sort of system.
One way you can do it is anytime, let's say you go to an event, you can have Monday, Trello, whatever you prefer, and you put a board for that specific event, and then you make a list of everyone you met at that event with a little note about something that you guys connected on, their phone number, their email. I learned this from Bart Miller, take a selfie with them, and then when you want to follow up with them, send them that selfie. And then you also have that note in that Monday board of, this is what we talked about, and this is, hey, I loved how we chatted about the difference you're trying to make, you know, saving the planet. And I would love to connect with you more on that and hear how you plan on doing that and how I can be of assistance. And then send them that selfie. Because now you made a point that you heard them and what they said. You sent a photo, so you don't just expect them to remember you, but you also remind them of who you are, and you have their email and contact info. And then you can move them into like a different part of the board. That could be your initial follow-up. And then the little sticker, you can say, okay, I've reached out. Now, where are we at? And do we have a meeting set, or where is this going? And move them down the board.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Okay. So I love that. Right. And I know that we're maybe getting a little bit too tactical, but you know, very recently, you know, we made a little bit of a shift based on feedback, right? People really want to know kind of how to do the thing, right? Because we hear all this advice, oh, relationships are great. Well, how do I actually do it, right? So thank you so much for being so transparent and open about this kind of stuff, right? Especially on, I guess, in my mind, it sounds like soft, like this soft skill of developing a relationship. But in fact, it's a skill that we also have to develop, and we have to be, you know, meticulous about it. You know, Bart, for example, the person that we're on the morning calls, right? Every Friday, right? They challenge us to send 5 gratitude texts, you know, to the people that, you know, are important to us, or people that we connected, or in our personal life. And I think, you know, more often than not, we just forget, or we just don't give the importance of it. And, you know, we have a funny story with our dad. Our dad is like, he is the master at this. He's like, he will call us or send us an email with a Word document attached. Like, you should reach out to these people. And, and you know, it's like he's always thinking about those. And I really admire. And I remember a stage in my life where that was like really annoying, right? It's like, well, why should I do that? They never do it to me, right? And over the years, I think I've learned that being proactive is massive. Like, you never know what's going on in their lives, and you, by sending that small message or giving them a call saying, hi, how you doing, you might be creating a massive positive change in that relationship. And whether that's an opportunity down the road or not, is still a massive win for both people. So I think people overlook this, and I want to thank you for sharing exactly, you know, how you do it on events, right? And I feel like every time we jump on those calls, you're like, from one event to another, you're like the master networking.
Yeah. I mean, I love people. I'm actually pulling back right now because I feel like I've had a network of people. And the one thing I will say, I never ask other people for their network. So if you know someone, you earned that relationship. You went to the work to be there, to nurture it. It is not my place to come to you and say, hey, can you connect me to them? Unless it's very rare I will do that. And it would have to be the right situation, because I know that if I had the chance to be in that room with that person, or maybe we have a joint dinner, I can earn that and see if they're interested. But I don't go to people. Anyone that is in my network, I have went and I have taken the time to meet them myself. Mm. Or if you were to come to me and say, you know what, Victoria, I noticed you're doing this. Let me introduce you to this person. Very different, because now you're offering me your network, but I will not ask you for your network.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. You probably offer so much value from that people see, you know, who they can connect you with. And when you are in touch with your network and you're being intentional in developing those relationships, you probably have a hold of what are their needs. And then when you find somebody that could potentially help those needs, you open the doors to connecting them. Exactly. I'm curious what people connect you with their network for on the mostly, right? Like, for example, I want to know, like, I want to right now, I'm like, who can I connect her with, right?
Right now, so on the business side of things, it would be companies who would be a good fit for us to come and help them scale. And that would be one way. And then we also, because I'm a connector, we've built in a really way to take care of our connectors. I've noticed a lot of companies, they do a very minor give back, or not give back, but percentage to the person who brings them the business. So anything we do, we have a 1%, 2%, or 3%. And as long as we are making money from them, we give you 1%, 2%, or 3% of whatever the profit is we're making. And it's because I value the connector, because relationship is powerful and potent. And so that's, a lot of people are connecting me in those ways because they know I'll take care of them. And they also know that we'll take care of those they send us. And then when it comes to my passion project side, which is helping children who have been rescued from human trafficking, people will connect me a lot of times to different resources of networks or communities that could help or have a passion for that same mission.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. How do you, I know we're maybe deviating a little bit, but I'm curious, how do you get involved with that foundation? How has it been the experience, you know, giving back and helping other people?
Yeah. Well, that's a great example of like one connection to another connection to another connection, right? I first saw about human trafficking. I watched a documentary on it, and then it was at a live event. And then I went to a gala for that organization. I met the founder, ended up getting really close, learning the undercover side of it. That event took me to another event where I met someone who happened to own an orphanage for children who had been rescued. That event, and it's just like one thing after another. It's when, so sorry, come tell me your question again. I want to make sure I'm answering it.
Yeah, like how do you get involved into that, right? And what has come from that?
So what's come from that is last year, it was part of my mission and my calling. I said, we need to make sure this orphanage has a forever home. And I was able to pull in strategic partners. And what people don't realize, and this is so undervalued and overlooked, is it doesn't matter how great your business is, how great your cause is, you have to be strategic in how you present it to people. Because if it was just about your business being good or the mission you're doing being great, everyone would just be throwing money your way. They would be showing up, right? It doesn't matter that some, you have to be very mindful in how you share the information. So for me with this, I brought in partners who were able to come, and we were able to raise $150,000 to get that orphanage their forever home through the way that we presented it, through the way that they then connected me to someone else. Okay, well, we need 44,000 left. Well, we happen to know someone here. Let me send them. Okay, well, now I needed to do a really strategic presentation to that person about why should they give us the remaining 44,000, right? So everything is like, it's so overlooked how important the presentation is.
Yeah. I mean, we can tell, right? You tell us your story. Since you're a little girl, you're a giver, right? And I've known a few people that are a giver first, right? But for most people, I've noticed, including me, right? It's something that we have to develop, right? And, you know, there's many factors to this, like, you know, backstory, where you grew up, resources you had growing up, like a bunch of stuff that could affect that. So somebody that might not be their natural inclination, what are some first steps to develop that skill of like, okay, I'm going to give first, and mostly I think without expectations, right? Because at the end of the day, people can tell, right? Like, oh, I'm giving you this, you know, because I want something on the other side. So how would you recommend people starting, you know, to take a look at this? And obviously, you know, we're talking in a business environment as well. So obviously, you know, there's some companies or some people I might listen to this be like, I just want to develop that relationship because of the expectation of what could be coming. But I'm more convinced every single day that the no expectation is the way to go. And it will always come back tenfold, you know? So how can somebody start developing that skill?
Yeah, well, first off, you can always give with an intention of what you hope will happen, but never give with an expectation of what you think should happen. Intention and expectation are very different. I enter every room, every relationship, every conversation with an intention. And so with that being said, when you, let's say you would naturally come to this and say, what do I want to get from being on this podcast? Well, if that is something that you would naturally go to, turn that on yourself and say, what can I give and how much value can I give to this podcast? What can I say that people need to hear? And so you automatically just switch it and say, what in that situation where you find yourself thinking, what can I get from this? Just stop yourself and say, what can I give to this? Mm-hmm. It's that easy. Anytime, right? Anytime you catch yourself like, what can I get? No, what can I give? And I go a little deeper, probably more than most people, but for the people I really love, I actually will have them like take the love language test so I understand how to speak their love language. And I have it in my phone as like who they are, what makes them feel special. Because a lot of times you can be showing up for someone in a way that you are showing them love, but they don't feel loved, right? Yeah. So I might send you a handwritten card, but you don't really care about words. I should have sent you a present, or I should have said, hey, let's spend 30 minutes together when you're in town next. And you know, because the five love languages are quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, and apparently there's not a fifth one because I can't remember it.
Physical touch, right? Already said that one.
Clearly that one's not mine because I forget about it every time.
that's mine. I took that test with my fiance when pretty close to when we first started dating.
Yeah.
And funny enough, the first time she took it, physical touch was like all the way at pretty much at the bottom. And I was like, ooh, this might be rough because I already had some previous experience, you know, in a previous relationship that didn't work out. And I was like, oh, all right, we'll see. And then like a few weeks later, she's like, you know what? Let me take this test again. And she took it and physical touch was, the top. And I was like, let's go. So it's like, bring it in, give me a hug. We're definitely huggers over here.
Yeah, me and Katie, we're also complete opposites too on this. But you know, on my side, it helped me understand, you know, where she's also coming from, right? And that has helped a ton. So I love that you make your close relationships do this. Yeah. So
I'm very curious about something. And I love the fact that you made, you know, your close relationships take this test so you can truly understand them and, you know how to properly show care and love for them, intention. Have you ever been on a situation where there's somebody you want to meet? You know, like, I don't know how to phrase this question. Have you targeted a specific relationship in a way, you know, saying, you know, I want to give, but at the same time, I want to meet that person, right? I'm interested in meeting this person. Or do you always just go to events with this open mind of, you know, I'm open to whoever comes to whoever, you know,
who do you want to meet?
Enters in my life. I'm just curious, right? Or is it, are you going to strategic events that, you know, there's going to be very important people in there, right? Because, I mean, I love serendipity. Don't get me wrong. We talked about it all the time. Coffee serendipity. I've met some incredible people at coffee shops, right? Where I'm sitting, I sense some energy and I'm like, you know what? I just need to go say hi to this person. Turns out, you know, somebody that exited companies, you know, very successful. They manage funds, whatever. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. But again, in the business world, I guess I don't know how to phrase this question without it sounding like I'm looking for a transaction.
I understand what you're saying. If you want me to
take absolutely.
Yes, please. Tell him to stop talking.
You just want to stop now? I will take this.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No. You were great. And I see your point. You're trying to say not being manipulative by going somewhere and trying to meet someone, but also being intentional. So I'm not going to go to an event about pest control products or, you know, doctors when that's not the space I want to be in. So I am very intentional on the events I choose to go and spend my time at. It has to be in alignment with me. It has to be in alignment with what I'm doing. And so there's words. My daughter goes, I always know it's you, Mom. If you're like, is it in alignment? Have I set my intention and do I feel called to be here? Like, I could talk like you all day, but it's true. And then once I go to that event, when I enter that room, I am not forceful. So for example, if some people know who Ed Mylett is, I went to Ed Mylett's house. Everyone there was going to be trying to go meet Ed Mylett. I wasn't going to try to get in the rat race of that. And I said a prayer before I go. And I do this before I enter any room, even before I get out on this podcast. I said, please help me to meet and be in the conversations I'm meant to be in for my highest and their highest good. Wow. And that is it. And then I let it go and I am present and I am intentional, right? That word. Yeah. And every conversation I'm in and I listen. And then I know that everything's working out how it meant to be. So for example, I did that at that event. I didn't talk to Ed because, you know, everyone was trying to talk to Ed and I said, you know what? Ed and I will be friends later. It's not a big deal. I don't need to talk to him now. And that's kind of, that's kind of how I think. And then I ended up meeting the person where I went on a private super yacht with them at that event.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, nobody knew who he was. He's blown up in the past year. But think if I would have been like, oh, who's this guy? Nobody knows who he is. Yeah. Like, why should I bother? But I was just intentional about that relationship. And guess what? I was on a super yacht with him on a show.
Wow.
Like, amazing. Come on.
Yeah.
That's the power of going in without expectation and being present.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. This is the things that they should be teaching kids in school, you know?
Dude.
How to be intentional in relationships, how to be present, how to, again, connect deep with people, how to manage your relationships. I think it's such an important topic, and none of it is taught growing up.
In my opinion, it's the most important because most employees last year left or were fired because of relationship problems at work. We have over 50%, I think it's even 60% divorce in America. Why? Because we don't know how to have relationships. We have people who are estranged from their families, don't talk to their siblings. Like, why? Because we don't know how to do relationships. If the number one thing you can learn in this life is how to have good relationships and care about people, you will be the most successful person.
Yeah. Ah, oh, so good. And I remember
it gives me hopes.
Let's go. You got this, Fancy. Don't be awkward. I just remember just recently, right? Like the last Fun Hacking Live happened, and that was one of the ones that we personally didn't buy a ticket for it. Thing like we just recently bought the studio, and we're like, we had no time really. I mean, I think it was like one day that 2 days before that we're like, I'm gonna drive down on Wednesday in the morning and then leave in the afternoon. And it was very similar, right? I was like, you know, I know there's some people there that we want to see and meet, and people from the show that have been on. There's, you know, the intention is go, chat, provide value if needed, and then have a good time, and then drive back up the same night, right? The event was like 2 hours away where we are from. And that's exactly what happened. And guess what? We ended up seeing a bunch of people that have been on the show, rekindling the relationship with them. We immediately got like 3 referrals right out of the event, and we never left like the hall where people kind of walk. And it was incredible. We had lunch with somebody that bought us lunch, but then the guy turns out to have a massive business in South America, and we were able to chat and develop that business side. It was really good. And like you said, I'm going back at like, what are the events that we've been going through this, and without expectations, but with a lot of intention. And it usually, that's what happens. Same thing at Boise when we ended up in that inner circle meeting that, you know, we joked about this morning. There was no expectation when we went to Boise. It was the intention of getting to work, seeing the people that we love that were there. And we ended up in 2 of those inner circle meetings and an amazing workshop, and we met really good people in there. And I'm like, man, like it always happens when you approach it that way. So Victoria, thank you so, so much for breaking it down for us. And I know there's so much more that we can dive into.
I know. before we leave, this is a total 180, but I'm just curious about the fight night. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about that. That sounds so cool.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And the last thing I want to add to that other part is I don't want people to hear this and think, okay, this is going to be exhausting. I need to go. I have more fun than anybody else. I build these relationships because I'm the person who is out at the bar till 1 a.m. with those friends. Like when everyone else is like, I got to get up early tomorrow. I'm like, I'll go, you know, so I'm willing to like party hard, play, work hard, play hard. Yeah. Okay.
You'll be a good fit for our Epa Nights. Just saying. Yeah.
Yes. Now the female fight night. Okay. Well, so I met this girl. We were 20 years old. We got in a fight. It was probably over some boy. And I like to solve problems quick. I'm not the person who wants to go, so-and-so said this. And I said, look, I know you are a fighter, not a talker. So I'm going to book us this fight night. We were both doing MMA at the time. We're going to go, we'll sell tickets to our friends. We'll get in the ring, and whoever, like win or lose, this is squashed and we never talk about it again. And she was like, okay. So I didn't quite realize what I got myself into, but the if you guys have heard of the Knitting Factory, it's a venue in quite a few places. It was one of the biggest venues in our area. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have it at the best venue. Like, this is going to be legit. And so I booked the Knitting Factory, and I happened to have some good relationships. I got private sponsors to help pay for the event. I did not realize, being naive, that booking fighters is like a big deal, and people don't just like to give their fighters over, like their fight cards over, to random events. So I had to pivot, and it became a female fight night of pillow fighting, jello fighting, and then two real fights.
That is amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
I think there's so much to dive into in here. So many lessons.
We'll just do that fight, the fight night lesson.
A fight night episode.
Episode for the community later on.
I love it. I'm curious, who won the fight?
Oh my gosh. She choked me out. But you know what? Well, at the end of the day, it was about grit, and it was about willing to get uncomfortable, yeah, you know, and handle it. There's a relationship. What did we do? We weren't bitter about it. We handled it and we moved on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So good.
I mean, that's amazing.
The theme for me personally has been do cool shit. And that was very cool. And you know, I mean, I'm sure there's so many.
That was epic. Trust me, I wasn't expecting the full spectrum of that story. That was absolutely amazing.
I mean, there should be a movie about this.
Hey. I'm sure she got the contacts to pull a movie for that. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Probably.
Well, no, Victoria. Yeah, today was awesome. We're incredibly grateful that you came to Content is Profit and share your networking and relationship frameworks and how you do it, because I've seen it. I mean, we've been connected now for a while now, and I'm like, wow, I'm so impressed for what you do and you know, the change you're causing, especially with your passion project, which is super important. So is there any last thoughts, or where do you want to send people?
Well, you can listen to my podcast when it's released, Purpose Profit Impact, on all streaming services, and that's also the Instagram, along with my personal Instagram, Victoria Chanel, but Chanel if
Chanel.
You're
Chanel. There you go. Victoria Chanel.
Yeah, check out to my channel, the Victoria Chanel. So yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. I'm happy we finally made this happen. And I hope that the audience can find value in it and take away some golden nuggets that they can go and utilize.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This was amazing. I loved it.
Fuzzy, any last thoughts?
Just one quick thing. Rather than golden nuggets, they were golden boulders, which, in this show, golden boulders are just like golden nuggets, just way bigger.
Way bigger.
So thank you so much for that, Victoria. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Yes, and I'll leave you with this. Networking is the entry point for relationship building, and life is ruled by relationships. Mm. So just remember that as you go and network your way to the top.
That's right.
Close it up. That was amazing.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Content is Profit podcast. Go ahead and follow the show in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at BizRoseCo.
That is Randy Victoria here, help you move one step closer towards your dream relationships. Please don't forget to share this episode and, of course, leave a 5-star review. See ya.
Bye, guys.